everyone. My name is Nick DeVore, Councillor Nick DeVore. I now call the Planning Development meeting to order. Please note that assisted listening devices for use in the council chambers are available on request from staff. Please ensure that all cell phones are turned off and placed on silent. Are there any members of council who have to disclose a pecuniary interest? No? Okay. We have one item on the consent agenda. It's the Heritage Caledon report dated April 11th, 2016. If somebody wishes to speak to it, please indicate by pressing your button. And seeing no one, that item will be approved on consent. No further discussion of this item will take place at this meeting, and the recommendation will go to council for their consideration at the next meeting. The next item on the agenda is the public meeting, and we have one application regarding proposed zoning bylaw amendment from Corbett Land Strategies on behalf of MJJJ Developments for a property described as Part Lot 3, Concession 6, south of George Poulton Parkway, East Coleraine Drive in Ward 5. The purpose of this public meeting is to gather input from the public concerning the application. Any members of the public who have written concerns or appeals dealing with the application being heard should be directed to the clerk's office. Any interested persons wishing further notification regarding the application are advised to clearly print their name and address on the notification list located on the table outside the entrance of the chambers. Following the presentation, members of the public will be invited to approach the podium, clearly stating their name and address for the public record and providing their comments. If you have presentation material, please provide a copy to the recording secretary at the desk to the left, and please note that any information submitted this evening will form part of the town's record. Following the public's comments, members of council will be invited to ask questions of the presenter regarding the information contained within the presentation. Please note that council members are here to listen to the comments from the public and are not here to provide an opinion or debate the matter. So I'll now ask Melissa Moore, the town's community development planner, to confirm that the notification was conducted in accordance with the Planning Act for the public meeting concerning this matter. Melissa?
It has, Chair DeVore.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Moore. I will now call on Mr. Corbett of Corbett Land Strategies to begin the presentation on behalf of MJJJ. Mr. Corbett.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mayor, members of committee. I'm pleased to be here before you this evening to present the details of this application. My presentation will be brief, but it will cover some pertinent aspects. First, I'll cover the details of the proposal. I'll do an overview of the site. I'll talk about the development approval requirements that are before you under the statutory requirements of the Planning Act. I'll talk about the merits of the application in the public interest, and then I'll briefly overview the documents that were submitted in support of this application. Sorry. This slide basically details the specifics of the proposal. We are addressing a three-story industrial office building with a single-story warehouse to the rear of the building. There is a total building area of approximately 1,900 square meters or 20,500 square feet. The building coverage is about 14,460 square feet, equivalent to 12.3% of the site area. There is a building height of 11 meters or imperially 36 feet in height. There is one accessory building to the rear of the main building, having a floor area of 81 square meters. And pertinent to the application, within the prestige industrial nature of the area, is a limited outside open storage area of approximately 45% of the site area, which will be fully screened and buffered from the neighboring properties. There is a parking area to accommodate 59 spaces, which is in excess of the town's zoning bylaw requirements, and there are two accessible spaces that will fully meet the accessible requirements under the pertinent legislation. There will be two points of vehicular access provided from the new Simpson Road extension. In terms of the site characteristics, MJJ Developments has submitted this application to the Town of Caledon to amend the zoning bylaw to permit a prestige industrial development in the South Simpson industrial area. I would note that this proposal does conform to the applicable official plan and secondary plan. The lands subject to this proposal are located within the interior of the South Simpson Industrial Park, just south of George Bolton Parkway. The lands will and do have currently direct frontage on Simpson Road that has recently been extended and connected to the existing Simpson Road to the south. The subject lands have an area of just under 3 acres at 2.68 acres, and the frontage along Simpson Road is 200 feet. It's pertinent to note that there's no significant vegetation on the subject lands. This is a location map showing the property outlined in yellow and the dashed line showing the completed extension of Simpson Road. There we go. This is the site plan that was out in the atrium. You can see the large building with a, it does have a, if you look at the rendering, a glass frontage facing Simpson Road with two access points, the parking out in front with the two accessible parking spaces, a truck loading bays and vehicular circulation to the rear of the building, a generous landscape strip and buffering and fencing of about 2 meters in height around the perimeter of the site, and the storage area that, as I said, is less than 45% of the site area, owing to the prestige industrial nature of the subject lands. I've got some technical. Okay, in terms of the merits of the application, Mr. Chairman, I would like to note for the committee's information that the proposal does conform to the provincial planning policy statement. It is designated and located within the built-up area, conceptual according to the growth plan for the Greater Toronto Area, and that the subject land is also further to this application for rezoning, subject to a full site plan approval and subject, obviously, to the issuance of a full building permit. In terms of the local planning policies, Schedule C5 of the town's official plan identifies the subject lands are within phase one of the prestige industrial designation of the industrial park, and the proposal conforms to the land use and open storage policies of the official plan. The building elevations and design perspectives submitted in support of the associated rezoning and site plan application demonstrate that the development achieves a high standard of architectural profile that is consistent with the emerging and existing character of this industrial precinct. I would also add that the proposal does conform to your industrial commercial design guidelines. This map merely depicts the official plan designation, the secondary plan designation outlined in yellow within the deep purple area, which is the prestige industrial designation. And I would note that the zoning amendment that we're seeking is to from agricultural to prestige industrial with a specific exemption to allow that limited outside storage subject to the screening and fencing requirements that we are proposing in our site plan. A number of detailed supporting documents were submitted with this application, including stage one and two archaeological assessments, stormwater management and functional servicing reports, a detailed geotechnical report, an arborist letter, landscape plan and cost estimates, engineering plans and related cost estimates, and full site plan submission drawings, including lighting, building, floor plans, site design plans, and full elevation details. And that completes my presentation, Mr. Chairman, and welcome any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Corbett. Are there any members of the public here tonight that have any questions or comments? Okay. Members of council, any questions? No? Okay.
I'll just go on the record, I guess. Thank you. I reviewed it ahead of time, and I was concerned about some of the wording where it said adequate screening. And open storage can be such an eyesore to neighbors, and I'm not talking residential neighbors, but just other businesses and stuff. And you did say to me that it was 6 feet,
right.
the height of the fence.
Correct.
What are, you may have said it. What is it that will be stored out there?
It'll just be basic outdoor storage of equipment, not stockpiles or anything of that nature. It's construction equipment and related building materials, but it will be low profile in nature. And it's interesting to note that this proposal does have a full basement, and the applicant intends to store a lot of his equipment for safety and protection requirements in that basement of the building. So it is unique in that way, and that many industrial buildings like this do not contain a basement to actually put that kind of storage into the outside of the public realm. So I think we'll address that concern adequately.
Okay, that's pretty darn good. I appreciate that. What made me ask was Highway 10
yes.
in the Victoria area. A lot of nice sort of looking outdoor storage has become just a cluttered mess with no fences around it. And all I worry about is that the height of the fence is conducive to be higher than whatever you're going to be storing out there, because we don't know what that neighbor is going to be to your south, I think it is.
There's south, one. The north, yes, correct.
Yeah. So all I worry is that we have more than adequate screening.
We're prepared to meet and exceed standards.
Perfect.
Okay,
great.
Thank you. Okay, this. Any other questions from council? Okay. This concludes the public meeting portion of tonight's agenda. Thank you very much. We have received one delegation request regarding the item on the agenda. We require a motion to waive the procedural bylaws, provisional procedural bylaws, to permit the delegation. So I need a mover. Joanna and Annette seconded. So all those in favor? Okay. Okay, that council, this one, council receives, waives the procedure, provisions of the procedure bylaw to permit the delegation to be heard from Cheryl Connors regarding confidential verbal update from Signet Lisk, partner Castles Brock, concerning advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege regarding the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry approval of Brock Aggregates, Inc., concerning the Tottenham Pit. So some, all in favor? Okay, so we'll need a...
Can I move to accept?
We do both at once. Okay.
Kathleen
Wilson. So everybody's... Okay, so all in favor? Thanks. Your vote? Okay, thank you. Carried. So we will ask Cheryl Connors to come up to make her presentation, please. Cheryl, you got 10 minutes.
Thank you. I won't even need my 10 minutes. So we first found out about this site plan amendment proposal over 5 years ago in 2011. Since then, I have no idea how many times we've come before council to delegate. I have probably been to hundreds of meetings. I immersed myself in everything about the aggregate law, became a director of Gravel Watch, delegated to the province of Ontario on multiple occasions, multiple meetings with policy, senior policy staff on aggregate law. And throughout all of this, all we've asked of council is that they meet openly and communicate with the residents and work on our behalf. And that is always what we've asked of you and continue to ask of you. Just a couple of things. First of all, the notice that was given when we found out about this in late September, because the Ombudsman Office contacted one of my neighbors, Mike McGarrell, and the town of Caledon was notified on June 12th. Again, we ask that when you learn of important information that so seriously impacts the members of our community, our health and safety. We ask that you communicate with us. I was horrified this week to receive an email from another neighbor that has said that there's a conditional sale on the pit and that it has been sold to a commercial fill operator. Absolutely horrified. So I would like to have an update to the community on what's going on, because I think everyone knows how immersed I've been in this issue, and nobody told me about it. You know, I heard it through hearsay of someone else who said they had a meeting with unknown counselors. So does anyone know anything about this? Because this is an open aquifer that's already gone through, broken through a couple of membranes, and commercial fill, you know, in there is terrifying to us.
I'd like to speak to fairly quickly. Myself, Alan, and Jennifer, we had a meeting. They came in. They proposed that this is what they want to do. We gave no approvals. They're just doing exploratory. They were looking at what there could possibly be done on the site. They were proposing to do exactly that. Anybody can make those requests and, you know, go through the process if that's what they decide to do.
So has the property been sold?
Not my understanding. And then last night we had our first liaison committee meeting, and they said that it hasn't been sold. And in fact, when we met with these people, they were looking at doing their research on the site and if this is a possibility for the site. And they can ask that question, and whether it is or isn't, we haven't got to any kind of a conclusion. So it's our understanding that the site hasn't been closed and hasn't been sold, and neither Dominic from GNL or the people that we spoke to that asked to speak to us confirmed that they had actually bought the site. They were doing the research on trying to figure out if this is a project that was would be supportable, I think is what it is. It's what they were doing, plus seeing if it was something that was possible.
So the property is for sale?
Well, I would think, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, if you own, anything's for sale if you really wanted to. So I don't know what the behind the scenes is. I'm just telling you what I know.
Well, it seems peculiar that they've just been granted a site plan amendment approval to expand, and that they're entertaining offers to sell to a commercial fill operator.
You're welcome to have that opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm really not going to have an opinion either way.
Mm-hmm. And then my next point is...
I want you to... We do have a full day. We had a full day and a full night, so we do want, if it's a delegation, to carry on through, please.
I still have 4 minutes. I've got 4 minutes and
after
50 seconds
done,
still.
Excuse me. We're going to conduct, Cheryl has the floor. She's going to make her presentation, then we'll have questions. I answered because I had to, as the chair, being a directed question.
Okay, 4 minutes and 29 seconds. So my second question is, I've had correspondence on the town of Caledon saying that they've had two legal opinions. And a legal opinion would be in writing, and generally it would be reviewing the legislation, any applicable case law, and that lawyer would put their signature under their letterhead, and that's what a legal opinion is. I note tonight that it says that there's a verbal report, and it's my understanding that the town of Caledon has never actually commissioned a formal legal opinion on the legality of the site plan amendment. So that's what I would like to ask, because when I asked the question about whether it was verbal, because anyone can get advice from a lawyer, and that's not a legal opinion, or if it's in writing, and if it is in writing, is that going to be made available to us for review?
Okay. Is that...
That's it.
I think we... You had, Barb, you had a question?
Yes, I did have a question because it's what something you said. So you were just told that it was Alan, Jen, and Nick that had the meeting. What I would like to ask is, did we actually have planning staff at that meeting? I don't know. He just said it was just the three of you.
No, we had, who else was there? Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Oh, he and Casey Blakely were also there.
Okay, I didn't know that. I wanted to be clear. Okay, thank you.
Okay. I think, Jennifer?
Thank you, Cheryl, for your presentation. And maybe we could ask if Ms. Tesorio could comment with regards to Ms. O'Connor's concerns with regards to the legal opinion and whether or not written or verbal is required as our lawyer.
Good morning. Good evening. Yes, we actually have two legal opinions in writing, plus we have planning laws recommendations that are kind of in writing in drafts. But the two legal opinions that we have received externally have been both in writing.
Thank you.
Okay. I ask Kathleen Wilson. State your name and you've got 10 minutes.
I don't need 10 minutes. My name is Kathleen Wilson. I live on Highway 9, and I'm kind of a little concerned at whether or not this quarry reopens, as I live across from a fill operation. And I don't know if you realize that three people have been killed outside of my house due to the increased truck traffic and also just dangerous driving on 9. So I'm asking, as well as an impact for a resident that lives in the area, I heard also this can be a fill operation. It's quite dangerous, and I've been part of the one at the Tottenham Airfield now for 4 years. And I recommend that the town seek qualified engineering on staff as well to do some examination of what's going on in the pit or what will go on in the pit with fill, because they will try to push you back to table 2 and table 4, and we have an open aquifer as well, open water. So as I said, I just found out that they haven't sold the property. Also, this committee, the community liaison, mm-hmm. I didn't receive any notice that I could join as a member. I would like to join as mm-hmm. well, just being part of the community. I live right next door pretty well to this.
Okay, we'll have to leave us your name and we'll send it to our contact staff. The committee was set up through MNR, and there's three citizen positions. There was... I'm not sure, but there might still be one.
Did we advertise for these? Were they advertised?
It was the Ministry of Natural Resources, and there's guidelines. We can talk to this about it later. But, it's through the ministry, and it's GNL. It's the applicant it's their committee.
GNL, sorry?
That's the operators of the license.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Councillor Shaughnessy, did you have a question?
Yes, Kathleen? Yes. Well, she brought up a point, and since it's only Casey here tonight and not Ohi, from what I understand, he's not here, right? I see her. Oh, is she not? Yeah, she's
Casey's not. There.
I thought it was her. It was the chair was in the way, but I thought it was her.
Yep.
I would just like to see if you could confirm this. From what I understand about aggregate, is a fill operation would require an official plan amendment to that because it would be an amendment to the site, because that's not what that was zoned for. Could we have can you provide an answer, Casey?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Shaughnessy. Yes, I was in attendance at the meeting. Fill operations are not specific within our official plan. We are, as council is aware, looking at updating our official plan, and as part of that, we're looking at specific policies for fill operations. Planning staff do consider this to be a planning application that would be required to deal with a commercial fill operation.
Okay, I just wanted, because I know she's the resident was worried that it would actually take a site plan amendment in order to have a fill operation on that property.
Let's take an OPA.
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Shaughnessy, it's planning staff's opinion that an official plan amendment and rezoning would be required that would require a full planning process.
Public process.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you were here tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, we're going to move into in camera. Okay, so Planning and Development Committee shall go into closed session under Section 239 of the Municipal Act for a purpose of confidential verbal update from Cigna Lisk, partner Castles Brock, concerning advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege regarding the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry approval, Brock Aggregates, Inc., concerning the Tottenham Pit. We need a mover. Joanna, Councillor Downey, and a seconder. Mayor Thompson, all those in favor? Okay. So we'll just move into opposed. Okay. Carried. So council will now move into confidential session. So if everybody could leave, other than the motion prepared, and Councillor Innes is going to read it. And we'll need a mover and seconder once it's read.
I'm going to move it. Thank you. That council waives solicitor-client privilege between the town and Cigna Lisk partner Castles Brock concerning her opinion dated March 18, 2016, regarding the decision of the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry approval of Brock Aggregates Incorporated Tottenham Pit, and that a copy of the legal opinion be provided as requested.
All in favor? There's no recorded vote in committee. Remember? Okay, so all in favor? Just carried. Any opposed? You're opposed? Rob, you're opposed? Okay, one opposed. Okay, Signet, could you please?
Yes, thank you. So I was provided with a conclusion document submitted by local residents. And asked to provide a legal opinion as to whether or not there were grounds to successfully judicially review the decision of the Minister of Natural Resources with respect to the site plan amendment for Brock Aggregates Tottenham Pit, and in particular on the basis that the decision breaches Section 3.5 of the Planning Act and Section 35 of the Oak Ridges Moraine Conservation Plan. And by way of summary conclusion, and I will touch on the three pieces of legislation that we did go through in detail in forming our opinion. It was our opinion that the Oak Ridges Conservation Act, the Oak Ridges Conservation Plan, and the Planning Act, and the applicability of those to the Aggregate Resources Act vary depending on the type of application. And as this was a site plan amendment under an existing license, that the minister was not required to have regard to either the Oak Ridges Moraine Conservation Act, the plan, or the Planning Act. And looking first at the Aggregate Resources Act, it does set up a scheme for different types of applications, the first being a license. Licenses under the Aggregate Resources Act are required to conform or comply with zoning bylaws. And it's through that mechanism, and have regard to planning matters, and it's through that that the minister would have regard to the policies of the Oak Ridges Moraine Conservation Plan. However, when you look at site plan amendments within licenses, for existing licenses that do not expand the license area, those instruments no longer apply, and there are no such requirements that are placed on the minister in considering a site plan amendment application. The Aggregate Resources Act specifically limits the operation of bylaws and other municipal means of regulating aggregate operations under the Aggregate Resources Act, and provides that the Act, the regulations, and the provisions of licenses and site plans apply despite any municipal bylaw, official plan, or development and agreement. And to the extent that a municipal bylaw, official plan, or development agreement deals with the same subject matter, they are inoperative. We then looked at the Oak Ridges Moraine Conservation Plan and Act. Section 35 of the plan, which was referenced in the conclusion, does provide for policies when considering aggregate operations in the Oak Ridges Moraine. However, it only applies, its application is limited by the Oak Ridges Moraine Conservation Act, and that act provides that it requires a decision under the Planning Act or the Condominium Act or prescribed matter to conform to the Oak Ridges Conservation Plan. And this has previously been considered already, and it is clear on the face of the legislation and prior decisions that decisions under the Aggregate Resources Act are not a decision under the Planning Act, the Condominium Act, and has not been prescribed. Therefore, the Oak Ridges Moraine Conservation Plan does not apply to the decision under the Aggregate Resources Act. We then looked at the Planning Act and Section 3.5 in particular, which provides that all decisions that affect a planning matter must be consistent with policy statements and conform to existing provincial plans. What is a planning matter is not defined in the Planning Act. So that's where we did a case law search to see what had been considered. The Aggregate Resources Act in particular has not been, but other similar regimes touching on approvals for uses, such as the Niagara Escarpment Plan, have been considered, and the courts have construed what is a planning matter very narrowly, so that, in our opinion, given the restrictions in the other legislation and the explicit provisions that these things do not apply, it was our opinion that it would be unlikely for a court to hold that this was a decision that was affected a planning matter under the Planning Act. So it's for those reasons that we concluded that there wasn't grounds to successfully seek a judicial review of the minister's decision.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, I can't get this thing to come off. Okay, next item on the agenda is correspondence. So is there anything in the correspondence package that requires action? Councillor Mezzapelli, I can't get this thing to work, so.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. Just one thing, and it was something that it's on page 6 of 13 in the correspondence that piqued a question in my mind. This is with respect to the new planning, servicing, and financing growth in the Region Appeal approach that the Region Appeal is suggesting. And paragraph 3 states, and further, that staff engage in consultation with affected stakeholders and that staff report incorporate comments from the stakeholders. And I think one of the key stakeholders in community planning is the community. And I'm curious to know, I know this isn't regional council, but whether the public would be deemed affected stakeholders. In my mind, that's a simple answer, and the answer is yes. But I'm curious how I would get an answer to that question.
The interim?
Whatever you are of, whatever that department you're in, loyal.
Thank you very much. So on day 3, I think, of my assignment with the town, I was invited to a meeting at the Region Appeal. Actually, it was at the City of Brampton City Hall. It was the kickoff meeting of the staff group who were putting together the technical information that would ultimately go to the Growth Management Committee of the town. What I recall from that conversation was that whatever work is completed, whatever options are considered, would be ultimately done in a very public way. So the short answer is yes, the public have to be engaged in this. My understanding is that the region would be undertaking an amendment to the regional official plan to look at the growth scenarios and also the funding mechanisms for infrastructure. So it has to be done in an open and public and transparent way, and the region essentially is managing this file. I do think, though, it's important. It's extremely important, I think, given other planning issues that are in confronting the town at this point, that there be regular updates provided by staff on the progress of this. Although it's a regional matter, it's going to the Growth Management Committee at the region. It does have an impact, obviously, on the local planning, and it's incumbent upon, and I believe, council should be receiving regular updates as progress is being made. Again, they've had their just kickoff meeting literally last week, so the work plan is going before, I think, the Growth Management Committee at the region, but there will be time to provide regular updates to the progress which is being made by the region on funding infrastructure.
Okay, thank you for your comments, Mr. Moyle. I just, when I look at this, that there's stakeholders that will be participating in this process, offering their comments, I'm getting the sense that the public component, being a stakeholder, will be at the very end of that when the options are presented. Yet the forming of those options will be in consultation with those other stakeholders, and that I find concerning. I would expect that the public would be actively sought out in providing their stakeholder feedback, informing those options, not being able to speak what comes out at the end. So I just wanted to express my concern at that, and I know that yourself and other staff will be sitting in this, and I'm hoping that that can go up the chain as a concern certainly of myself. Thank you.
Okay, anything else from correspondence? Well, none of it's working. Okay, go ahead. Point of nothing, just go ahead.
Thank you. I guess this is for you, Mr. Moyle, and your department. The letter from Aurora having to do with the golf course conversion seems to be a serious issue, and I say this that it has broad-reaching implications. It's a golf course now, but is it the buffer zone that we put in our development later on? And even in edge planning, which we're looking at implementing edge planning, we start putting that in. Does that become infill later on? So I know they didn't mean this to happen under the growth plan, but it's obviously something that the planning department's going to have to be very diligent on, because golf courses, to me, were always just a holding for future development. But buffer zones, edge planning, minimum distance separation are all could be up for grabs in the future. So I just, any thoughts from your perspective? I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
So one of the advantages of being old is you have the opportunity to have many experiences. So the experience that I had prior to rejoining Caledon was as the interim CAO in Aurora. So the report that you see, pages 12 and 13, were written by yours truly. So this was one of the last things I did for the town of Aurora. This was a briefing note that was provided to a meeting of the GTA mayors and chairs with Premier Wynne several, I guess, a couple weeks ago or maybe a few months ago now. And so the issue was raised at that level because there is a concern, or there was a concern expressed, certainly in Aurora. There's a very, very complicated and very expensive OMB hearing about to launch. It followed on the heels of a very expensive and complicated hearing in Newmarket. And there are others across the Greater Toronto Area. The Glen Abbey Golf Course in Oakville is going to the board. The Sawwet Golf Course in Oakville is going before the board. So the purpose really of bringing this to the attention of the provincial folks really was one of the unintended consequences of places to grow and intensification was the consumption of private open space for residential purposes. So the province had assigned targets for intensification in built-up areas, but we suspect they didn't contemplate that golf courses would ultimately turn into subdivisions. And as a consequence, there was a provincial interest. So when the matter was tabled, I understand, with the Premier and her staff, she asked, is this just an Aurora problem, or does it exist throughout the Greater Toronto Area? And apparently half the hands in the room went up from the mayor saying we have the same issue. So my understanding is that the commitment had been made at that meeting. The province was going to be looking at the issue. And it really sprung, to be quite blunt, it sprung from the fact that as the interim CAO, we were trying to find the $1 million or so necessary to fund the defense for this one application, and there were a couple on the go. And the council in Aurora said, is this a good use of taxpayers' money? No disrespect to the profession, but to have endless OMB hearings and court cases, there clearly is a matter of provincial policy here. There's an unintended consequence. And so the decision of the Aurora Council was to see if others were in the same situation, and apparently that is the case. So that's a very long-winded way of saying, yes, I'm familiar with the file. I wrote the report, and I know that it's caught the attention of the province because they are hearing from many municipalities that one of the perverse outcomes of places to grow through intensification, again, was to utilize existing land within the built area. And I'm almost positive the province had never contemplated that parkland or private parks would ultimately become residential or commercial property. So there's a need for some provincial intervention.
Thank you for that. The other consequence, I think, when I read and I saw those, like there were 8 golf courses going under development, I think it was, I went, okay, they're going under development, but now they're going to eat up some more prime agricultural land, wanting more golf courses outside of the area. So I think it's not just a one-fold situation about the infilling. It's just they're not, Glen Abbey isn't going to just fold up and go away. They're going to buy, you know, prime agricultural land someplace else and build another golf course someplace else, and we continue on and on. So I think we have to be aware, and like I said, the edge planning. I went to a conference the other day discussing edge planning with MHBC, and I think that just, I think it's a slippery slope, and I think we need to be leaders in trying to solve some of those issues. Thank you.
Councillor Innes.
Thank you. Just one more. The letter from Mayor Thompson to Premier Wynne with regards to the GTA West. I just wanted to firstly say thank you to Mayor Thompson for sending this letter. And wondering if we've had any response back, because it's dated December 22nd. There's a response back that we got, but have we heard of any meetings that we may be having to discuss the GTA West?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speak. Yes, May 2nd through the region appeal, we're going to have a meeting. We do, with some of the councillors, do have working groups that we're working with traffic issues on Highway 10, and then we have a meeting with the minister later in the afternoon with the I think it's the chairs and mayors and I believe CEOs.
Okay. Anything else? Meeting adjourned.